This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli of TVWorthWatching.com, sitting in for Terry Gross. Tonight, NBC presents the final episode of the drama series Friday Night Lights. The TV show, based on the book and movie of the same name, about a high school football coach, his family, his team, and his small Texas town. Here at Fresh Air, we want to give it a fond farewell. So today, we'll feature past interviews with Peter Berg, who helped bring the original book by Buss Bissinger to the large and small screen, and with Kyle Chandler and Connie Britton, who star in the TV series as Coach Eric Taylor and his wife Tammy. Here they are in character in a quick taste from tonight's series finale. Tammy is doing all the talking, explaining why, as they're once again facing job offers pulling them in separate directions, this time is different.
It's my turn, babe. I have loved you, and you have loved me, and we have compromised. Both of us. For your job. And now it's time to talk about doing that for my job. Because otherwise, what am I going to tell our daughter?
That's Connie Britton with Kyle Chandler, the stars of NBC's Friday Night Lights, which ends its five-season run tonight. Some diehard fans have seen this finale already. The final two seasons of Friday Night Lights were presented first on the DirecTV satellite network in an arrangement to share costs and keep the show alive. And for months now, the final season, including the finale shown tonight on NBC, has been out on DVD. But on broadcast television, this is the time to say goodbye. As a TV critic, I never understood why Friday Night Lights wasn't a bigger hit. The acting, especially by the two talented leads, is phenomenally real and touching. And while there is football action in most episodes, the show really isn't about sports. It's about people, as they matured and struggled and wavered and committed and learned or didn't. There are few enough scripted dramas on TV as it is, and fewer still that aren't crime procedurals. On broadcast TV, the low-key family drama is nearly extinct. NBC has one other series like it, Parenthood, and that's about it these days. But Friday Night Lights was rare in terms of quality, as well as genre. In spirit, it earns comparisons to Bruce Paltrow's The White Shadow, the CBS drama from the late 70s that starred Ken Howard as the coach of an inner-city high school basketball team. That show did then what Friday Night Lights has done all along. Both shows trusted their young actors and rotated them out of the cast as their characters were due to graduate. They mixed comedy and drama and weren't afraid of surprises and never underestimated the intelligence of their audiences. For all that and more, Friday Night Lights deserves our thanks and this salute. We'll start today's program by listening back to part of my 2008 conversation with Kyle Chandler. Earlier this week, he was nominated for an Emmy for his performance as Coach Eric Taylor. Most recently seen as the father in the J.J. Abrams movie Super 8, Chandler previously starred in such TV series as Early Edition and Homefront. Yet playing part of one of television's most credible, loving couples on Friday Night Lights, opposite Connie Britton, remains his most recognized role to date.
As soon as we met, it was clear that the casting was perfect. Initially, we shook hands, said hello, and within 10 seconds, we're already starting to barb on each other. We both have a very similar sense of timing and comedy, and we both love comedy. And, you know, there's not much of that in the show, but there's enough of it to create that relationship. And it's very similar to a marriage. I've been married 12 years, and that's it. That, you know, no matter how angry we get with each other, no matter how hard we fight, it's okay, because we know that we're always going to be together. I mean, that's the bottom line.
I'd like to play a scene that I think exemplifies this and shows some of the humor. It's from the first season of the show. You've had a problem with an air conditioning unit, and you meet with your wife in a diner, and she seems to have come up with a solution that you may or may not like.
You go first.
Okay, you want the good news or the bad news?
No, good news. Always the good news.
All right, I'll give you the bad news. AC
done. Like I said, we need a new unit, $3,000 minimum.
What's the good news? Our cold front moving in?
No, the good news is that I think I might be able to help you pay for the new unit because I think I got myself a job.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That fast
mm-hmm.
you got a job?
Yeah.
Where'd you get the job?
At the school.
What school?
At the high school.
At my high school?
I wasn't aware that you had bought it, but yeah, I'm the new guidance counselor at the high school.
You know, guidance counselors can be a nuisance, and that means
Eric,
that we're going to have some interaction.
Well, that's good. I like that we're going to have interaction. I think that's great that we're going to have some interaction.
Well, I just think that we should probably talk about it.
Well, I've taken the job already.
Well, gee, what happened to the consultation we were going to have? Hello, Coach Taylor.
One of the things about the role, one of the directions in which you go sometimes, is you're not afraid to be a jerk. Which is very endearing, and for a TV heroic lead, fairly unusual.
No one's perfect. No one's. I'd be lying if I was going to get on screen and be this perfect guy. I love falling. I love playing a role where I think I'm right, and then you learn you're not. And it's what you do with that information.
Right.
What do you do with when you realize you're wrong? How do you say I'm wrong or I'm sorry or this and that? And I don't want to make it too easy on him, but it's great to be wrong. It's great to be a jerk and then realize I was wrong. it's real life. I mean, it's fun. It's a joy to play.
For a television star of one of the best shows on TV right now, you're kind of an enigma. I mean, you've starred in other TV shows and you've starred in movies, but we don't know as much about you as we do about a lot of people who are at this level. So your father, according to the biographical material I've been able to read, was one of the things that he did was he was a farm owner, and your mother was a dog breeder. This sounds like no matter where you went as a kid, you were hit with chores. Is that true?
When we moved down to Georgia, we owned 22 acres of land. About 7 of it was pasture. We had We went from Lake Forest, Illinois, which is not a farming community by a long stretch. And my father, bought this piece of land. They'd always raised and showed, they showed Great Danes. They've always had Great Danes. They were very successful with the breeding and the showing of them. Hence, I was always in a motorhome traveling around the country going to these dog shows as a kid. as well down there, we had a boarding kennel. So the responsibility of 22 acres with a boarding kennel, a business, and there were a lot of chores, a lot of responsibilities, and I did the best I could to keep up with them, yes.
What about your own high school experience rings true to you, even though it's a different generation? What do you remember? I know you played high school football for a couple of years, and you've downplayed your abilities, but what do you remember about the other players and the coaches and just the other students in general?
High school was interesting because I went from a public school, middle school, to an academy where the first year we were doing Latin, chemistry, biology. I was woefully unprepared for the type of study. At any rate, it was halfway through that first year of school as well that my father passed away. However, he did get to see that year. I played football for the very first time. I was the smallest fella on the team, and we won the state championship. So I've got to experience something that very few people get to experience. I didn't play. I was rather small and very heavy, however, I put my 2 cents in worth, and the joy of winning that state championship, I felt just as much of my sweat was on the field as anyone else's, and it was just an incredible feeling of accomplishment, and it truly it was a proud moment. And the things that I learned out on that football field, again, lessons that you just don't forget. You know, the guy who reaches down and picks you up and says, "Hey, good job," even though he's 6'2" and just knocked your helmet off your head. it makes you feel good. You learn lessons about yourself. You learn about yourself, what you can give and how far you can go.
If this is too sensitive a question, just tell me. But I'm wondering if at that age, if you, when you lose a parent, if you have to make a conscious decision to decide how to act to the people around you, to your friends, to the people who don't know you, to your relatives, and if that isn't some sort of an, you know, the most horrific kind of acting choice.
I would go a step further and say that you try to figure out how to act with people so many different times in so many different ways that in the end you're not quite sure how you're acting, but that's the choice. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I can remember now thinking about it, trying to figure out how to act, how to be. Because not only do you lose a parent, and it's such a shock, I was in a new world for not very long before I lost him. I'm 14 at this point. I mean, 14 years old, a boy loses his father. You know, there are worse things in the world by far, but it's complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew how to be a man. I didn't have a figure to bounce off of. My mother, a wonderful woman, just can't take the place of that. My brothers and my sister were moved on. So I was always trying to figure out how to act, how to be. And I was always very conscious. It made me very, very self-conscious. And I was also far more introspective, and I was far more curious about observing others and how they did it.
There's one other clip that I want to play, and it's from the championship game episode from the first season. And here you are playing the coach, coming in and talking to your team, but your team is down at halftime, and you're confronting the team.
When Jason Street went down the first game of the season, everybody wrote us off. Everybody. And yet here we are at the championship game. 40,000 people out there have also written us off. There are a few out there who do still believe in you. Few'll never give up on you. You go back out on the field, those are the people I want in your minds. Those are the people I want in your hearts. Every man at some point in his life is going to lose a battle. He's going to fight and he's going to lose. But what makes him a man is that in the midst of that battle, he does not lose himself. This game is not over. This battle is not over. So let's hear it one more time. Together. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Let's go!
Your reaction?
Well, I've got chills, to be quite honest. That quiet speech followed by those kids in there with, you know, can't lose. It's the perfect setup for the scene. We were up in Dallas shooting that, and I had the flu. I was sick as a dog. I remember Pete Berg coming down on the field to say hello to me, and he just walked away because everyone knew. So I do remember doing that scene. It was a daze. I was in a daze, actually. But right before that clip went on, I was thinking the one thing that allows me to do so much on this show is honesty. And this is a very honest show. There's a reality to it that comes out of me quite easily. I think that's what makes that scene, because out of my honesty, those kids have the honesty, and they're sharing it right back with me.
All right, well, Kyle Chandler, thanks very much for being on Fresh Air.
It was a pleasure to be here. I love your show, and thank you so much.
Kyle Chandler, from a conversation recorded in 2008.